You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 42 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, October 22nd, 2008. I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we are your weekly hosts for a conversation about technology and ministry. And we pray that we'll talk about something that can help you out in your church or ministry. Thanks for joining us. Good morning, Sally.
Hi, Martin. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Just a note to our listeners, we're kind of doing this a little bit ahead of time because the week that this will be released, the week of Wednesday, October 22nd, I will be actually in Michigan at an internet ministry conference out in Grand Rapids. I'm really looking forward to that. All kinds of workshops and conversations about how best to use the internet for ministry purposes. It's kind of what we do on this show. But all kinds of people who are trying new things and with different kinds of results. So hopefully when I get back, I will have some good stuff for you all.
That sounds great, Martin. I'm looking forward to you sharing a lot of that with us.
Okay, so we're, as promised last week, we are going to talk about website redesign. We're going to have an interview that's going to talk a little bit about the Wells.net redesign that's coming up, which is a huge endeavor that Joel Hochmuth joined us and discussed, some of the plans for that and the challenges, with that and, the purpose of a website and, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we thought it would be good to dovetail on that conversation with a conversation between the two of us about website redesign. A lot of congregations, I think, Sally, in schools are to the point where they've had their website for some time now. When I first started in the Synod Administration Building back in 2004, we had less than 50% of all of our churches with websites. Now I think that number is about 85-90% almost. So there's been fantastic growth in the last 4 years. So a lot of those people who have had those websites now have had them for 2, 3, 4 years maybe now. And maybe they're thinking, it's getting a little stale.
Right. I think that one thing that you can always do is keep an eye on what other people are doing on the web. And so learning from others and stealing other people's ideas from their
borrowing
websites,
yeah,
is a great way to enhance your website. And one of the main recommendations that I have for people, if they're even considering going down the redesign trail, is to get together a group of people and actually work with a committee within your congregation so that it's not just one person vision for the web, but you get a lot of different ideas in the mix as you're evaluating your website and evaluating other websites to see what you want to include in yours. I think it's always a good idea to consider updates to your website, to not let it get stagnant, like you said.
Yep, share the load. There's a lot of wisdom in bringing as many people onto a project as possible to kind of get that feedback, to maybe dole out responsibilities. Maybe a great question to ask before you begin a redesign project is why? Why do you think you need a website redesign? And there's probably some key questions that you should probably ask yourself in that process. One would be is your website getting the job done? And you're only really going to know that if you have some solid objectives for your website. And I think that's important. What kind of outcomes would you like to see as a result of your website? Is it more for internal communications? If so, are your members coming to your website? Is it becoming the source for congregational information? Is it for outreach? primarily for first-time visitors? If so, is anybody coming to your church as a result of maybe checking you out first on your website? So the answer to those questions may determine whether you need to kind of think about redoing things. And it's not always about just the visual design, Sally. It's also about recognizing what content is good or bad to be on there.
Right. I think the underlying theme of what I'm hearing from you, Martin, is the word audience. Mm-hmm. Knowing who your audience is going to help you determine those objectives. So if your, you know, goal is primarily outreach, then you have to put on the hat of someone who's a first-time visitor to your website, who doesn't know all the ins and outs of it. How easy is it for them to find what they're looking for? How quickly can they do it? How many links do they have to click on off the homepage to drill down to the information that they really need? Mm-hmm. You know, keeping it simple, keeping it focused on that audience is what's going to drive a good website design.
Yep. I guess one of the questions that you should always ask when you're building a website or redesigning a website is, when thinking about the audience, what do you want them to do? When they get here, what is the objective? What do you want them to do? Do you want them to come visit your church? Do you want them to read a devotion? Do you want them to participate in a forum? Do you want them to look at the church calendar and then track whether that's happening, either by survey or using some of the tools that we've talked about in the past? We talked about Woopra a couple weeks ago. We've talked about Google Analytics. All of those will help you determine what pages are being visited, how long people are spending on a particular page. That will help you understand the effectiveness of your website. And especially if it's for internal audiences, you can just ask, you know, what are you doing on the website? Is it meeting your needs? Those kinds of things. So what do you want them to do should be a question you always ask when you design a website. I would think there's a couple considerations when you're looking to attract people to your congregation through a website, which I think is a must these days because many people are not visiting the physical building before they visit your website to kind of check it out, see what's available. And a couple things that I would suggest there is try and create an immersive experience. With the audio and video tools that we have at our disposal today, that's more easily done than ever before. So when they come to your website, try and give them a flavor as much as you can about what is going to be the experience they're going to have when they come to your church. So that means that just basic websites with service time information and those kinds of things aren't going to cut it. You need pictures, you need video, you need audio, something that they can click a couple times and say, hey, I kind of get what goes on here. Whether it's going to be an experience that they're going to feel comfortable in, whether it's going to be an experience that is warm and welcoming and inviting, whether it's an experience that they're going to be fed, you know, with solid, you know, scriptural teaching, whatever that is, as they come to your website, you need to obviously be very truthful about what's going on within your congregation on your website too.
I think it's important as you build your website and you decide on these paths that you're going to invest in, that whatever you do it well and you update it regularly. Mm-hmm. You know, not letting your content get old, but actually showing that your website, is a live and growing place. Yep. So, you know, take extra consideration as you're deciding what you're going to invest in on your website, in that you need to have the systems and the people and the time and place to nurture and grow those areas of your website.
Yep.
Do it well.
That's hard. That I think that's a real struggle. A lot of congregations jump into website building and really don't recognize, boy, this is a lot of work. If we want to really keep this up and make this something that we're going to be proud to put up on the internet and that people are going to get something out when they go to it, I'd maybe recommend three things there. Have a strategy for keeping the content updated. So make sure that it's updated at least on a weekly basis, if you possibly can, if not more. Make sure you're looking for news that can get up there. Second, use RSS feeds. I've encouraged a lot of our congregations to take advantage of the Wells.net RSS feeds that are out there. Daily devotions, daily Bible readings, daily prayers, there's teen devotions, there's all kinds of content that's pushed out almost every single day. So your website content can change just by putting in those RSS feeds, and that's very easy to do in most website software, very easy to do in the Final Web Wells Web Hosting program that we use as well. And then finally, one last bit of advice when you're thinking about trying to keep things fresh is focus on events, not the institution. When I say that, I mean, you know, it's very easy to plop a picture of the church on there in your service times, and that's your homepage, and it never changes. But that's really not your, that's not what's going on at your church. That is the church, but that's really not, that is not what's going on within the four walls of your church. Really, it's events. You know, what is the upcoming sermon going to be about? Do you have upcoming VBS? Do you have Friendship Sunday? Do you have different events that are going on that are going to be of interest to the person visiting your website? So that should be constantly changing. You're doing new stuff all the time in your church, so your website should be representative of that. So every time somebody comes to your church, they should be seeing, you know, what's going on this coming week. Your worship service is the highlight of your week. You know, that really should play a major role on the front page of your website, don't you think?
I agree, Martin. I have one more to add to your list of ways to focus in on having a really fresh content, and that is to share the load a little bit. Our final web system and other systems allow for multiple people to update the website, and that's just a huge thing. When website design first started, it typically went through one guru kind of person who understood FTP and HTML and all of these acronyms in order to make it all work magically on the web. But that's not the case anymore with our different content management systems that are out there. You can have multiple people log in and do updates to the website. And so by sharing the load, then not one person but many are able to keep that content fresh.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. Well, we couldn't get through this conversation while talking about some of the technology behind website redesign. And the first one's really just easy. Anybody that's currently using the Wells web hosting program through Final Web, changing your design is as easy as pushing a button. There are prepackaged, templated designs, you know, within Final Web that you can move between. I think there's probably 15, 16 different varieties, and we're continuing to add more and more to that. So if you're looking for a little freshening up of the site and want to use one of those prepackaged templates, press a button, your content reflows. You may have to do a little bit of tweaking with image sizes because each template uses image sizes that are a little bit different from each other, so you have to kind of be careful with that. But other than that, all the content stays the same, and presto, you have a new look and feel. You also have some tweaks that are available through the color picker, so you can identify different sections of the screen that can change color. So if you change your church logo to a different color theme, or if you just want a color theme to be representative of the season of the church year, you can fairly easily do that within Final Web. So if you don't use Final Web, one thing that I would really encourage you to look into if you're not familiar with it already is the use of cascading style sheets, or CSS. That is really the design tool of choice for web designers today. Anybody that's in web design will tell you that they spend most of their time in CSS at this point. And what CSS is simply an external or a separate markup language that styles, thus the name style sheets, styles your content. So it's abstracting, and that's kind of a technical term, but it basically separates or abstracts your content from the presentation. So your content stays the same, but how it's displayed is basically updated by these style sheets. And there's some great, great editors out there that'll make this really simple. So you can change the background color or the typeface, or whether things display in a column or a table, or whether it's floated to the right or the top, or what kind of border or margins are around it. There's just a ton of things that you can do with CSS. A couple of tools that I would recommend on the Windows side, and this may be even available on the Mac too, is Stylizer. We'll put the link to it in the show notes. If you're working on a Mac, one of the best tools out there is called CSS Edit. For you web designers that are listening, please send us your suggestions for CSS editors, because there's just a ton of them out there, and I know they all do things a little bit differently. But CSS would be something that you'd maybe want to invest in. There are some very good websites about CSS tutorials, too. Very easy to learn, I would say. You don't need to know much more than you do for HTML. So if you're doing any kind of design, and a lot of the tools out there that you do use for web building, like Dreamweaver, Front Page, or I think it's called SharePoint Designer at this point. Some of the other tools out there have this built in as well. They are their own little CSS editors.
Very good. And I think it would be good to circle back and mention your pick of the week from last week
as well.
Martin.
Go ahead. You can reference my pick of the week.
you
use it too. Color by Adobe, KULER.adobe.com, basically is a great color selection tool for dummies. I mean, I'm a color dummy. I need help in trying to determine what colors go with what. So you can pick a primary color and then get a whole palette of colors that would be complementary to that or go with that or contrast that, however you want to kind of configure it. Great online tool. If you've got a church logo or school logo, you can upload that and get color palettes based on the primary colors in that as well. So check that out. One last thing maybe before we leave the topic, Sally, is a great resource that I found and use quite a bit in talking with congregations is a place where you can see sample designs. Sally, you mentioned it at the top of the conversation, borrow from others. So see what others are doing, not always from the design perspective, but what kind of content are they showing? And there's a cool site out there called, let me see if I can bring it up here, churchrelevance.com. And let's see, it's a whole long URL. We'll put it in the show notes. But they have a top 75 church websites page where you can go through 75, what they determine is, and I don't know what their criteria is, but as I click through these, there's some good stuff here. All kinds of different church websites designs. A lot of these are megachurch types, but I think that design principles are the same. They're visually appealing, compelling. I think they all follow some of the guidelines that we shared earlier on in this conversation about being event-driven, but also with a visually immersive website that lets you know what their church is about if you were to visit them. So that would be one website that you could go to for samples.
Very good. I think those are a lot of great ideas. And even if you aren't looking at a full site redesign, always keeping your content up to date and looking for ways to improve your website is a good thing and something that should be part of your, your committee's goals is to keep the website always fresh and looking at what your audience needs and providing that.
Absolutely. So with that, why don't we listen to what's going on with the Wells.net redesign, which is a huge undertaking, as Joel and Alicia will outline for us. And let's listen. Now, this wasn't on our prescribed list of questions, not that there is a prescribed list of questions. So if I go off too far here, Joel, just let me know. But we are also in the midst of a redesign of Wells.net. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of the changing focus here together, kind of, I think crystallized for us our internal communications. Wells.net, on the other hand, is kind of our external communications channel at this point, right?
I guess it's probably easier to talk about it theoretically rather than
right.
the particulars.
Right.
I think the theory is exactly the same as what we were doing with, even with the whole email system that we had, where every area of ministry was free to just sort of send out
right.
its own emails to the whole church body.
Mm-hmm.
I think the website, if you look at it, is an example of that. It's the same sort of theory, which is, if you look at the front page of our website currently, it's just full of information and links and leads, and there's no particular rhyme or reason. And so in theory, what we're trying to do is the same exact thing, which is let's cut down on the clutter, cut to the chase of the most important things that we have to offer as a synod, again, identifying who our key audiences are, which includes both, you know, quote, seekers as well as, you know, new people to Wells who don't really know much about us, trying to give a more direct conduit to those things that are going to help them have a better understanding of who we are. And so it's part of that theory is the same thing, which is to sort of clear out some of that clutter and really cut to the chase of the most essential things that we have to offer. And then through that process, the resources that we're developing actually have a better chance of reaching people because there's not so much clutter there, if that makes any sense at all.
That sounds like a tough job.
Yeah, and I'm going to have that done by about this afternoon.
Well, just going through the raw amount of content that's on Wells.net, 75,000 pages of content at last count, that's got to be just, you know, almost you almost shake your head when you look at, you know, where do you start? You know, what is good to accomplish that particular objective, you know, of getting that information out, and what needs to find another home.
Right. And in fact, Alicia and I, just last night, we're looking through, you know, an example of a church that's just gone through this same process, which is the ELCA has just gone through a, you know, a revamp of their whole web presence. And you look at what they've done and you think, wow. It's just, you know, the time involved and the sort of depth of thinking, and you got to think, okay, how are we going to do this? And in a lot of ways, you know, looking at it, there was a lot of, in a lot of ways, the current content didn't match with what their intended audience.
Right.
And so then they've got to go through and revamp everything, which is not just simply saying, how are we going to reshuffle the deck with what we've got here, but how are we going to create a presentation that really speaks to somebody who doesn't know anything about us? How are we going to do that?
Right.
How are we going to provide a clearer path to some of those materials that we have? And it's, you know, in talking to their people, that was you know, a year and a half long process before they ever even got off the ground, before they ever even had anything to show.
Right.
And it's still a continuing process,
right,
because they still got, you know, loads of content that they're going through and revamping, and not just simply reposting, but reformatting and repurposing for a whole new audience. And that's an ongoing process. So
right.
That's not something that happens overnight.
That as you were talking, I'm thinking many congregations. You know, probably are in the very same position. I mean, they don't have 75,000 pages of content, but they've developed their site over time. And I know most typical congregations are just looking for anything to put on the web. So anything that's in digital format is fair game for a starting congregation to get up their website. And there's really not a lot of strategy behind that. So where they find themselves is, you know, a mishmash of content with really not a lot of thinking as to who the intended audience is. So they're going to have a struggle doing the same thing. What is for internal, you know, communication and members? What is for that potential church visitor? Right.
Oh, absolutely. That's the key. Which is, before you ever even start, you have to identify who are, you know, it's the basics of communication. Who's my audience,
right,
you know?
Right.
And then what am I trying to tell them? And, and those are the two things that if you're doing that, same thing at a local congregation level, which is, who's my audience, what am I trying to tell them, and then figure out how am I going to go about doing that.
Yep, and if you hang those two questions in front of your nose when you're building your website or creating content or determining what goes on the site, I think that makes it a lot easier, right?
Right.
You filter everything that way. So, well, sorry I took us off a little off track, but I appreciate the insights, and you'll certainly be hearing more, probably even in Together, about, you know, where Wells.net is going and, you know, launch dates and those kinds of things. It's all very exciting. I think it's good for the Synod, good for its members, and good for potential Wells members visiting the site. So, you know, blessings on that work. Again, Alicia and Joel, thank you very much for your time. Continued blessings to Communication Services, and I'm sure we'll be talking again.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you, and right, thanks to Web Services, too, for helping us put together all of this lovely e-newsletter stuff.
That's what we do. We love it. So thanks, guys.
Thanks. All right.
C. Sally, I know from personal experience that a website of the size that Wells.net is no easy task, especially as we're trying to figure out who the website is for and as we're trying to deal with 75,000 pages of content and all kinds of functionality that we need to account for.
Certainly, our goal is to make it easy for our audience to find what they're looking for on the website with the least number of clicks off the homepage, and that becomes a real challenge with the size and amazing content that we want people to be able to find there.
Yep, and with 1 million visitors every year, we want to make sure that we're accounting for who they are and really why they're there, and to provide content that is relevant to them in the most easy to use format. So watch for that. We don't have a launch date yet, but we are excited about it, and I think there is good things in store for people who want to go to the Wells.net website. Let's move on, Sally, to our picks of the week.
Okay, my pick of the week is one picked with educators in mind, although I don't think I think any of our geeky-type audience would enjoy this webpage because it's a lot of fun. It's called the Periodic Table of Videos, and it's produced by the University of Nottingham in England. And what they've done is they've got a visual representation of the chemical elements in the periodic table, and you can click on any of the elements there and watch a video where they work with the element, talk about the element, do experiments with it, and all those kind of things. And they do just an excellent job. The videos are just a lot of fun to watch, and you certainly can learn stuff about the chemical elements along the way. So you want to share this link with your science teachers for sure. But like I said, any geek at heart would enjoy checking out some of the periodic table of videos. And it's actually at periodicvideos.com, and we'll have a link in our show notes.
That's very cool. I love, in school, I could not get enough of chemistry. I don't know if it was the chemistry class or the teacher. Old Doc Allison was just a card, a cut-up, and I love going to his class, so I'm definitely going to check that out. I don't know if he's even still alive, but maybe I should look him up. But he made science fun, and this kind of stuff does the same thing. And it's kind of cool to think about some of the technology that's available today that can help engage students, and that's exactly what this is.
Right.
My pick is something that's been around actually quite a while, and it's a Microsoft Office Suite open source alternative called OpenOffice.org. We've referenced it many, many times, I think, on the show. I don't think we've ever had it as a pick of the week, but I think it's been referenced when we ran that contest a while back where we asked people to contribute their their open source tools. And OpenOffice.org just released version 3 of their product, which is why I'm making it my pick of the week. And a couple of exciting enhancements to the version 3 product, other than just kind of staying pretty equal with the Microsoft suite, I would say, is that they're offering now a native version on the Mac for OS X Leopard. Before, you had to use something maybe called NeoOffice or run X Windows behind the scenes to make OpenOffice run, which made it run slower. It didn't look real nice. Now they've got a native version. It runs also on Linux, of course, and Windows. And I think if you would try it, file version compatibility is no longer an issue. It'll read Word files. It'll create Word files. So that's not an issue. It doesn't do it perfectly every time, especially if you have more sophisticated documents. But you can put up with some of that for the price because it is absolutely free. It includes all the similar types of things that the Office Suite does. So you have word processing. You have spreadsheet presentation. You have a drawing program, which in some cases could double as a desktop publishing program. You have a database application. You have macros. You have all the same things. It's definitely something to take a look at on the congregational or school setting because it does offer just a whole suite of tools that probably would meet almost every one of your word processing or spreadsheeting or presentation needs. So openoffice.org, if you go there, I know that the response to version 3 has been just overwhelming, and I think it's overwhelmed their website as well. So it may be a little bit of a slow download at this point, but I would give it a try. It's free to try. It's a huge download. I think it's about 140, 150 megs, something like that. So it's not lightweight, although that is lighter weight than Microsoft Office. But give it a try. It doesn't cost you anything to try it, and I think you might be pleased. It's pretty intuitive, easy to use. Sally, have you ever used OpenOffice?
I sure have. I love the price tag, so that's the big draw for me, and found it to be completely satisfactory for all of my needs in the office suite. Mm-hmm. We actually got new computers here at our school this summer, and we went with OpenOffice for all our staff and all our lab computers as well. And we were one of the first to download this new OpenOffice 3, already using it and loving it. It's got some real nice enhancements.
You have it installed in the classroom already? No.
We do.
Really? Yep. Holy cow.
Yep.
You didn't stay up all night doing that.
No. It's not a bad install. It goes pretty quick.
Okay, cool. Very cool. So let us know how that goes. I would love to hear the feedback from usage by students. And that's obviously a good test, whether they mm-hmm. can work be intuitive for them. So I think it will be. Mm-hmm. So check it out. Our Wells.net feature of the week, Sally, what do you have for us?
Well, I wanted to point our listeners to an online Bible class. It's from the What About Jesus website.
Very cool site, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. The link is actually whataboutjesus-explorethebible.com, and the Bible class is called Explore the Bible. And what you're going to find there is 16 interactive Bible lessons. And when I say interactive, each lesson is followed by a quiz. And the quiz is graded online, and instant results are provided. You know, if you got it right, you get feedback. If you got it wrong, you get feedback, so that hopefully there's plenty of interaction with the person taking the quiz. It's modeled around a Bible information class, so it covers doctrinally all the concepts of the Bible. It has a glossary tool that goes along with it, and just a great way to introduce people or to give people a good refresher on the basic Bible truths. So I would encourage you to check it out. Again, I'll include a link in the show notes. It's called Explore the Bible.
If I'm not mistaken, Sally, is that what was Kevin involved with that?
Yeah, actually he was. This grew up in the South Central District when we lived down in Texas, and Kevin actually programmed the website.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. What's up? What's coming up in the Wells world we can tell people about?
Well, we're excited to point to a couple of live events that are going to be broadcast on our Streams video network related to the upcoming Choral Fest. And there's actually going to be two high school Choral Fest, one held at Illinois Lutheran High School in Crete on November 9th, and a second at Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School in New Ulm on November 16th. And both of those are going to culminate in a big concert on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And we're going to have those available for viewing live on the Streams Network. Yeah. So you won't want to miss that. I'm sure they'll both be just awesome concerts.
Yeah, I've been to those in the past. Those are tremendous. Those kids just do. So all the area Lutheran high schools are, I think almost all the area Lutheran high schools, and I believe there's 21 of those come together. And every other year they do these regional ones, so they've got two of them. And then next year they'll do one that's all together. But they get all these kids together, and they practice for 3 days, and they come together, and they've had some of this music ahead of time too, and they just do a tremendous job, especially with that sacred concert, which is on the Sunday. There's also Friday performances, which are more secular in nature, more entertainment style, and then the Sunday one, which is the one that we're going to be live streaming at each of those locations. So streams.wells.net, look at the live section or the live tab to get all the details on that, and tune in And I think that'll be just a wonderful experience. So I'm going down to Crete to broadcast that one, and a couple of other members of the web team are going out to your neck of the woods, Sally. Are you going to be able to get over there in person?
I definitely want to. We're hosting a couple of the students here.
Oh, cool.
There are going to be some staying with us. We're expecting about 300 kids here in the New Ulm area, so mm-hmm. they're looking for lots of homes to host and that kind of thing. So, yeah, we definitely will be part of that.
Awesome. Community feedback. We've had a number of people still talking to us. Apparently they're still listening, Sally.
That's encouraging, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We have heard from a couple of different listeners. One is John Shoesmith out in Washington State, I believe. Don't be upset with me, John, if I got that wrong. It's Washington or Oregon, somewhere on the West
Coast.
Just be
happy we got your name right, John.
Yeah.
We'll get the location and right eventually.
He sent us a couple of links. One is to Google's video indexing. It's called G-Audi, and eventually they probably are going to be able to index all of the videos so that you could type in search words and things and be taken to specific points in a video where those words are part of the audio content of that video. They're doing it currently with political videos, and we can include a link in our show notes to more information on that. But just kind of a look at the future and something John is excited about and wanted to share with our listeners. He also sent us a link asking, or an email asking about information about congregations getting into iTunes, and possibly an upcoming show topic for us, Martin, would just be talking about the ins and outs of being in iTunes and, you know, how you'd host your podcast, how do you get it into iTunes with the correct, you know, format so that you're getting images and all those things that go along with an iTunes listing.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of good ideas for future show topics there.
Very good. Thank you, John.
We heard from Gail Potratz. Gail is our monthly contributor to the podcast, but she also likes to give us ideas when she's not on the podcast, so we thank you, Gail, for that. Gail is exploring something called Web Outs, which is, a way of adding video to enhance your website in a specific format, and she's actually looking to do that on her Final Web website and has gotten some information from the Final Web support staff about doing that. So, I'm not going to get into all the technical aspects of it, but potentially a good discussion topic again in the future is using web outs and how they might be effective for your website.
Great.
And then finally, the last one I wanted to mention was an email I received from David Schumann. He's at Peace Lutheran, and that's in Janesville, Wisconsin. And David was just sharing some ideas about the potential use of this technology to do long-distance ministry. And so, you know, ideas like using Skype to broadcast your worship service and those kind of things. And we certainly have seen examples of this in some of our home mission settings or settings where there's dual parishes. But we'd love to hear from you guys if you are doing any long-distance ministry using Skype or any other tools to connect with a group of people that are far away from you. I know there's, you know, lots of potential there, and I think it's probably a challenge for our local congregations maybe to make that jump to also supporting a long-distance ministry, but possibly it is being done, and we'd like to hear more details about it if it is. So thanks, David, for the good ideas, and we'll see if we get any feedback from any of our other listeners on that topic.
Thanks to everybody who contributes. We love to hear from you. We share this. We share almost everything that we receive on the show, and we would love to hear from you as well. Different ways to do that. First of all, you can go to our wellstech.wells.net website. You'll find all of these methods there. You can email us at wellstech@wells.net. We'd love to hear your voice in our voicemail box, 414-375-2334. We're on Facebook. There is a pretty active Wells Tech listserv or mailing list that you can join there. And also we're on Delicious if you want to tag a piece of content on the web that you'd like us to talk about, to research, to look at. Just use the Wells Tech tag on Delicious, and we visit that frequently to take a look at different things that you all would like us to look at. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going to be up next week, Sally. We're going to focus on mobile technology. With the advent of the iPhone, that is a hot topic these days. The Android phone has just come out on T-Mobile. We can talk a little bit about what that means maybe to the technology field as it relates to mobile technology especially. That's the Google phone by another name. We have an interview with Pastor Hans Kawe of Texas. He has an iPhone, and he talks a little bit about his experiences with the iPhone and its application for ministry. So be sure to tune in next week for that. Let's close this week with the music of Koine, a frequent contributor to the music portion of the Wells Tech podcast. They're going to be singing Crown Him with Many Crowns from their album entitled Koine. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next week.
Try.